Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And I am broadcasting live today with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I want to thank all of you from all over the world, it seems, for joining me. And my declaration over your life today is that there are unlimited possibilities and probabilities existing in your life today, and they are just waiting for you to awaken to them. Well, thank you again for joining me. And as I said earlier, people are listening from 121 countries, and isn't that remarkable? And as I always say, I believe that if you are listening to me, that you were attracted to this show, and that today especially, that there will be hope, encouragement, and solutions for your life today. Well, how are you doing wherever you are? I hope that you're having a great day. Well, I have simply been just enjoying myself here in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. As you know, it is fall and the trees are just absolutely beautiful. And for all my people who live in Florida or California, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But in the fall, the trees turn orange, red, yellow, and it is so beautiful. And as I was driving in from walking this morning, I just really felt the magnificence and the splendor of God in the form of nature. So I am really grateful. And of course, I want to thank all of you once again for those wonderful emails from all over the world. And you know, now it seems that a lot of my emails are coming from my listeners all the way in Australia or down under. And I want to thank all of my listeners in Australia for listening, and thank you for those wonderful emails. And if you would like to send me an email, I would love to hear from you about how this show is changing your life. You can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, are you ready? Today, my special guest and co-host, I'm going to be have a co-host today, is Mr. Jeremiah Gabriel LeBlanc. And Jeremiah is the host of another show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And we're going to be talking about how you can begin to change your life in 60 days. So I want you to stay tuned. I'm going to be right back after this quick commercial, and we're going to get started.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, your success coach. Do you feel stuck? Are you ready for change in the areas of business, relationships, or career? Then contact me today for your complimentary coaching session. We will partner together to develop individualized strategies and projects that will move you towards the life of your dreams. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com or visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and discover and take advantage of the diverse coaching packages that I have designed just with you in mind. Well, thank you for listening to that commercial. Also, for a limited time, I'm offering two coaching sessions for the price of one. So I really want you to visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take advantage of all of the wonderful products that I have designed just with you in mind. Well, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready today? My co-host, and this is the first time I've ever had a co-host, is Mr. Jeremiah Gabriel LeBlanc. What a name, right? He's the host of Empowered to Success and is really a dynamic motivational speaker and success coach. And with more than 20 years' experience as a public speaker, he has conducted seminars and conferences all over and throughout the country. And just, I'm so blessed to have him today. And the circumstances surrounding him being on my show today are quite remarkable. I had initially interviewed another gentleman who was supposed to be on my show, and guess what? The recording, I had pre-recorded it, and the recording did not record, and I was a little frustrated and a little bit upset, but when I sat back and I thought about it, I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because all of you know that I really pray very seriously about who I should have on the show, because I believe that whoever is on my show will bring to you solutions, answers, and empowerment. And so I believe that it is a design plan, and it has been preordained that Jeremiah be on the show today. So Jeremiah, Gabriel LeBlanc, welcome to the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show.
Well, thank you so very much, Constance. I love your show and just am delighted and honored to be here today.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are before we begin talking to them about how they can begin to change their lives in 60 days.
Excellent. Well, my name again is Jeremiah LeBlanc, and I am originally from Wisconsin. I was born and spent most of my early life in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am the youngest of five siblings, and I have been doing some kind of public speaking for well over 20 years. I loved radio as a young kid, and when I was 13, 14 years old, I would get home from school, do my homework, jump on the bus, and go to the radio station and just watch the DJs work night after night after night. I've always been very fascinated with the medium of radio, and so God has sort of put that on my heart as a way of expression to share his kindness and grace with many, many people.
That is so interesting, and so I know, I love that you shared that even as a child, because I believe that God puts our plan and the purposes and the desires that he has for us in our heart, even at a young age. So what are some things that you've done, Jeremiah, to really begin to bring your vision for communications and radio / television to pass?
That's a very, very, very good and interesting question. Let me say that I remember so clearly when I was 8 years old, I was sitting in church with my mom, and of course I grew up in a Baptist foundational or fundamentalist Baptist environment, which means a very emotional sort of church service. And I remember the preacher standing up preaching, and I looked at my mom, and again, I was 8 years old. I looked up at my mom and I said, you know what, Mom, I can do that. I can do what he does. I can speak to people. And mind you, I'm 8 years old. And I believe at that very moment, that was the calling of God upon my life, that is to serve, to minister, and to use communications as a tool to really inspire people. So that calling and the awareness of that calling began when I was a young child, and have always been very sensitive to spiritual things. And of course, I got sidetracked and down the wrong path, as many, many teenagers do, but never for a moment did the dream of being on the radio and television, never for one moment did it leave me. And I battled against mediocrity and negative influences from outside sources, because when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, I believed that I could do anything. I didn't know it intellectually, but I believed it in my heart. And so those dreams were sort of temporarily squashed, if you will, by well-meaning people, but people who basically told me that my dreams were too large and too unrealistic. And so, long story short, I've done sales and I've done ministry. I've had a couple of businesses. I've done lots of things, but I've never, ever done anything in my life as much as I enjoy radio and teaching and sharing with people. And so I would say over the years, my main thing has been to meditate on that dream and hold that dream close to my heart. As I grew up, I learned that you can't necessarily share that dream with everyone. Sometimes you kind of hold that within until you can get surrounded by people who can receive that and who can assist you and bless you in that.
Well, that's very empowering, Jeremiah, because I think that so many of my listeners really may have a dream, and maybe the pressures of life or some of the crises in life have really crushed, diminished, or just really just diluted the power of that dream. And that's why today I'm so glad that you're on, and we're going to be talking about how everyone who's listening can begin to change your life in 60 days. But before we get to that, I have one last question for you. So tell me this. What was it in you that made you hold on to that dream? Were there times when you said, I'm just going to give up on this, it's never going to happen? What did you do in moments of frustration, in moments of depression, disappointment? Share with my listeners just some simple steps of what you did to hold on to that dream, and then we're going to get started.
Excellent. Well, Constance, what I did was really, really communed with my own heart and with God, because again, I know that when I was eight, that initial deposit in my heart of that dream came directly from God, but I just didn't know how to facilitate it. And unfortunately, my parents, though great and wonderful, wonderful people, did not know how to inspire me as a kid in that. So basically, I held on inwardly, and I'm not even sure, Constance, that it was a conscious thing. I believe it was more subconsciously, but I held inwardly in my mind's eye the word that God had given me, or the vision that God had given me at that young age. And when I was depressed and down and discouraged and off track, I would somehow or another revisit that moment in my childhood. And that's why, I am now in my early 50s, and I remember that day when I was eight as if it was yesterday. It was so crystal clear. And keep in mind that being eight, I can't reason with it or express it or explain it from a intellectual point of view, but I just know in my heart that was a call from God. So during those moments of great discouragement, and trust me, there were years of discouragement and being in a desert-like experience. But of course, I've come now to know that even that desert-like experience was really God preparing me for more humility and greater service, with a sense of love and compassion that you don't necessarily have when everything in your life is real smooth. So I really kept God close to my heart. And then secondly, I have always been a very avid reader. So I would read great books of great men and biographies and spiritual works, and particularly the Bible. You know, very interesting. I used to read the Bible every day before I ever even knew the Lord, before I ever actually yielded my life to the Lord. It was something about the book itself that drew me. So I spent a lot of time reading, a lot of time meditating in Scripture, and then just communing within my own heart with my Creator.
Well, that's very powerful. And the principle that I want to leave with my listeners is that the what is up to you, but the how is up to God. Jeremiah did not know the how, and then the hows are really the business of God of the universe. So I really appreciate you sharing that very powerful testimony of how you held onto your dream. And so you and I are going to talk about how you can begin to change your life in 60 days. So it's almost November, so we have about 60 days left before the end of the year. And did you know that you can, in fact, change your life? So we're going to share 10 steps that you can begin to take to change your life before the end of the year. You ready, Jeremiah?
I am ready.
Okay, the first one is we're going to talk about how you need to, step number one is develop habitual ways of thinking. And what do I mean by that? Your life is made up of daily habits. You brush your teeth, you drink your water, you exercise. And really remember, your habits determine your future. And like Jeremiah was saying, 90% of what you think is subconscious. So that means you're sort of like on autopilot. You get up, you brush your teeth, and then all of these thoughts, which they say we get 60,000 thoughts going through our mind a day. And so remember that your life will go towards your most dominant thoughts and feelings. And so whatever you are continually, habitually thinking will eventually build neurological pathways to your brain, and they will create what we call defaults. That means that if you've been thinking negative about money, you will just automatically default, just like your computer defaults to the C drive. And so did you also know that negative or habitual negative thinking creates memories in your cells, in your body, that your cells actually remember those negative thoughts? And so rich people are habitually, Jeremiah, thinking all day long, but they're thinking wealth, and poor people are thinking poverty. And so I just want to let you know that great people, if you want to be great, you have to begin to really change your habitual thinking. Martin Luther King would get up every morning and meditate and think on great things. Thomas Edison would think on great things every day. Booker T. Washington did the same. He would think on great things about 3 hours a day. So I think in order for you to incorporate step one, you need to monitor your thoughts and deliberately every day decide what you're going to think, because remember, you can deliberately change your thoughts. Jeremiah.
That is so, so very, very true, Constance. And I, you know, for those of that are listening to us today, I really, as you were speaking, I thought of this one thought, and that is we find ourselves sometimes in circumstances, perhaps it's a job that you don't like, or a career path that's not your highest calling. And it is in those moments sometimes where we sort of go on the negative default, as you were saying. And I just wanted to encourage the listeners to know that even in the career path that you're on, if that's not where you feel you should be, you can begin to arrange your thinking even in that circumstance and begin to change the picture of your life. And, you know, in the scripture, we're reminded about Joseph, who found himself in prison. He found himself absolutely in prison on lockdown. But you see, the dream and vision that he had was that he would be exalted. And of course, we know that ultimately he became the prime minister of Egypt. But the point was, is even while he was in prison, his thoughts were always focused on that dream and that vision.
That's very powerful. And so what we're saying is that you can deliberately, on purpose, no matter if you're in prison or the prison of your own thinking, begin to choose what you're going to think on a daily basis. So number one is to change what you habitually think. Number two, the second thing that you can begin to do to really change your life within 60 days is, and you've heard me say this so much, Jeremiah, I'm really tired of talking about it, but become clear or gain clarity about your goals or desires. What do you want to happen over the next 60 days? You know, when you are clear about what you desire, your manifestation comes quicker. What happens is when you really clear, the navigation system in your brain sort of gets this clear picture, and then things, it begins to navigate and bring things to you quicker. And so one way that you can really get clear about what you desire is to write down in specific terms and in as much detail as possible what you desire. And 90% of people who have written goals, who have unwritten goals, excuse me, just sort of flounder through life. And Jeremiah, statistics have shown that I think about 3 to 5% of us have written goals. And those folk who have written goals, we have money and wealth. And so there's a direct correlation about writing your stuff down. I'm going to give you an example of me. About maybe 10 years ago when I first got a Mercedes, I felt like God was saying, okay, it's time for you to get Mercedes. And I decided that I wanted Jeremiah black on black in black, and then I said, I'm black. That was my little joke.
Right.
And so I said, I wanted black on black in black, and I'm black. And so I knew exactly what I wanted. I didn't want a red one. I did not want a white one. I did not want a blue one. I wanted black on black in black. And so I was very clear about what I wanted. And so when I went to the dealer, I said, no, I don't want to test drive a white car. I don't want to test drive a red car. Why? Because I was very clear about what I want. So once I became clear about what I wanted in a car, when I would start driving, I would begin to see black Mercedes. Why? Because my navigation system in my brain was beginning to bring to me pictures, feelings of what it would feel like, et cetera. And so that's an example of clarity. So my question for you is, write down what you want, be as clear about it as possible, and then begin to take small steps toward that, which we're going to talk about later on. Okay, Jeremiah.
That is so, so very true. And let me encourage you with this, with respect to the clarity and the desires that you have. I believe it's important for us to allow those desires to be very, very big. You see, when I got dreams and desires, they were really always sort of astronomical. Even as a kid, I never wanted the cheap one. I always wanted the best one. I would save my money if I wanted a stereo. My friends would say, well, let's just go, you know, to Target or wherever and just grab a stereo. I'm the guy that would save my money for 6 months and go buy a really nice stereo. So let those dreams and desires be huge as you possibly can, and don't get talked out of them by people with less of a vision.
I think that's great, because I think that people really think small, and I think God wants us to think big.
Absolutely.
He wants us to think just like Jeremiah said, that I can have anything, I can do anything, but you just have to make that decision, just like Jeremiah said, that, you know, he wanted the best. And so when he began to think like that, then what happened? He manifested that in his life, and clarity is your key to success.
Absolutely.
You want to say anything else, Jeremiah, about clarity?
Real quickly, clarity is so, so, so key. And I'll tell you something else. An experience that you have in your life has a very profound impact on your belief system. And, you know, I have been on several cruises in my lifetime. The second cruise that I ever went on, I was blessed enough to stay in the presidential suite cabin with a baby grand piano in it and a private veranda.
Oh, my goodness,
and
you're bragging, Jeremiah.
Trust me. You know, and people say, well, just as long as I'm on the ship. I used to think that until I went on my second or third cruise and have never stayed in anything less than the suite, which is on the average ship. It's about 1,100 square feet. That's not a lot of room on a cruise ship. I'm saying that experience began to bring clarity in my overall life about what I could have and how I wanted my goals to be arranged. So my desire is always first class.
Right. And that's a great point, powerful point, Jeremiah, that our experiences create more clarity about what we desire. And I'm going on the cruise in about 7 days. And you're right. Once you stay in a suite, you can't go back to that lower cabin stuff.
Absolutely.
It just
Absolutely.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Well, speaking of beliefs, the next thing that you can do to begin to change your life in 60 days, I think is really powerful, Jeremiah, is your core beliefs. That's what do you truly believe about yourself? Because whatever you truly believe about yourself is showing up in your life. It's a law. So what do you believe? I can look at your life and tell what you're believing. And I don't know if you remember Roger Bannister. He was the first athlete known for running the first recorded mile in less than 4 minutes. Before that time, everybody's belief was no human being can run a mile in 4 minutes. They've never seen it. They had never experienced it. But obviously, Roger's belief system was different. And so guess what? After he ran that mile, other men began to break that record, and they're still breaking that record. Why? Because a belief system was shattered. So yeah. You need to really take a look at what's showing up in your life. If you're thinking or believing, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I have to work hard for money, I can be wealthy during this difficult time, whatever you believe really is showing up in your life. And so I believe, Jeremiah, that in situations like this, that we need to really take a look at what our core is. We need to begin to replace them with the new truth. Example is, if you desire to lose weight and your whole life your belief system is, I cannot lose weight, it's hard for me to lose weight, you need to replace that possibly with, I love myself and I'm gradually only eating and putting foods into my body that nourish and bring life and vitality to me. Now, that's a statement that you can begin to exchange for the previous belief that you have. So belief systems, what you truly believe, is one thing that you really need to take a look at and begin to change. And you can change it before the end of this year.
Amen.
Your comments, Jeremiah, on belief systems.
The belief system is so critical, Constance, and particularly what we believe about ourselves. I grew up with a very, very stringent background, very, very disciplined, and that side of it was good, but sometimes that sort of that tension, sort of a tension in the air, which creates low self-esteem and when you're not feeling good about yourself. And so what I have realized over these years, in order for me to change my belief about myself, I have to see myself in the image of Him who created me. I cannot allow others to determine my self-worth, but I've got to determine my own self-worth. And I believe that the best way for me to do that is by finding out what God said about me. And God said, and as a matter of fact, a very dear friend of mine reminded me even on this morning, you see, that you're not average in any way, you see. And so I begin to think about that. You know what? You're right. God said everything that He created was good and very good. So one of the things I believe we have to do is fall in love with ourselves.
Well, you know, speaking of that, that is so powerful. One of the other things, and this is going to be, I think, number 4 or 5, we're going to talk about self-esteem, acceptance of self, and acknowledging the gifts that are on the inside of us. And I, like you, Jeremiah, in my own life for years, I walked around not loving, didn't know I was beautiful, didn't know I was special. I remember somebody said to me, Constance, you are changing the world. And I said to myself, I don't really see myself like that. And the Spirit said to me, you better start seeing yourself like that. And so self-esteem, let's talk about that one, self-acceptance. That means that you're not loving and accepting who you are. Most of us don't. And so when you don't value yourself, when you don't acknowledge all of the gifts and talents that are on the inside of you, you're not thinking great about yourself. You're not really walking in your gifts and your purposes. I think that low self-esteem, self-concept, and really how you view yourself is what will happen in your life. I have a little cute saying, Jeremiah. It says, what you view is what you do. And that simply means that however you see yourself, however you view yourself is what you're going to do on the outside. And so that whole self-esteem, self-concept, self-acceptance, like you just said, is very important. And like you said, your friend told you, and that friend was me, by the way, listeners, he said something, and I said, there's nothing average about you. You are an extraordinary man. And so once you see that in all areas, and we all have struggled with that, once you acknowledge that, then greatness will begin to come into your life and manifest in your life.
That's right.
So I just think self-esteem and self-acceptance is very powerful.
It certainly is. And, you know, one of the ways that I because, again, I struggled most of my life with low self-esteem and not really accepting myself. One of the things that began to really assist me with that is praying and meditating about those who are supposed to be in my life and those who are supposed to be out of my life, because a great deal of our self-esteem comes from our connections and relationships with other people. And so when we are connected with people who value us and who see the gift, and as you just said, what you spoke to me this morning, see, that was a gift. That was a gift from a friend who believes and loves me and nurtures me. And that really, really ministered to me. And real quickly, there is a wonderful, wonderful man of God by the name of Dr. Michael Murdoch. Mike Murdoch says, pay any price to stay in the presence of extraordinary people.
Ooh, that's powerful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Ooh, that's good. That's really good. Well, you know, you're a man, and I have a lot of male listeners, so, and you talked about how you suffered with low self-esteem, and so for my male listeners who are listening all over the world, I mean, you guys don't really talk about how you feel about yourself that much. So what would you say to my male listeners?
You know, I really would say this, and some may misunderstand this. I have, one thing about me as a male, I have always, and I don't know why, it's just a God thing or my particular disposition or what have you, always been very sensitive, always been one who didn't struggle with being in touch with his emotions. And I know a lot of men struggle with sharing emotions because we, especially in this country, we have been trained and conditioned to think that that it is a feminine expression and it's not for men and you got to be tough and you got to be hard and you got to, and I believe that, in fact, the Bible said it is his kindness that even leads us to repentance or to changing our thoughts. And so gentleness and kindness is a gift from God. And I believe that men, especially us men, need to be more in touch with our emotions. And a lot of guys don't like to acknowledge it, but the fact is that woman was created out of man. And that means that men do have emotions and feelings just like females do. And part of that is being learning how to tap into your sensitive side as well.
Right, and there are millions of women listening, Jeremiah, who would love to have a sensitive man, but that's another show. Another show. That's really great. And so if you're just joining me, this is Constance Arnold, and my special guest is Jeremiah LeBlanc, and we're talking about how you can change your life and sharing with you strategies and principles that you can begin to implement in your life over the next 60 days. And in fact, we all know that it takes 21 days to change any habit. So our next step that you can take is that how you deal with failure, setback, and rejection. So I want to talk about failure, setbacks, and rejection. So there's so much going on here in the country. And so I just want to say failures is just a part of life. And setbacks are just a part of life and rejection. And so my question to you is, how are you going to let those things define you? I think that we need to change and reframe our thinking around failures. And I think that failures are just teachers to show us, no, that is not what you should do. No, that is not the way you should go, et cetera.
I had Melinda Goodell coaching, and her boyfriend left her, her fiance left her, and she was really traumatized behind that because they had the wedding planned and all of that stuff, and she was devastated for so long. And when she came to me, the first thing that we did was to acknowledge this was difficult. You were rejected, and even though I have my thinking about that psychologically, but she had to make a decision. Am I going to let this define me, or am I going to take what happened to me and let this reshape my life? And so for those of you who are listening, if you've just had a lot going on lately, a lot of setbacks, you keep trying, and seemingly you're still at the same place, I want you to take the valued lessons that you've learned from failure, setbacks, and rejection, and then take those lessons and let them move you, take you to the next level in your life, and then you will be able to help yourself and help others, and let that add value to your life and to the life of others.
Amen.
Jeremiah. Amen.
You know, Constance, I was listening to you, that the setbacks and the failures and the mistakes, what I have discovered over the years, people who are nurtured and have very, very high self-esteem, particularly from young ages, don't have struggle as much with failures and setbacks as others, because they never link the setback or the failure with who they are as a person. But when you are in an environment where your self-esteem and self-acceptance is low, you are actually taught indirectly to attribute your accomplishments with who you are. For instance, we oftentimes, and I can certainly say that at least God gave me wisdom with that with respect to my children, but oftentimes we say in school, the kid that gets an A is somehow better, brighter,
right,
or sharper than the kid who gets a C, you see. And that's not true, not at all. In fact, some of the craziest people I've ever met in my life have advanced degrees. So, but that's another show as well. But
don't talk about me, Jeremiah. Go ahead.
I've been crazy. I've seen some crazy people with PhDs. But the reality of it is that what we accomplish or don't accomplish should not really be attached or linked to who we are. And that way, if I step out and begin to do something, if, in other words, I have high expectations but low attachment, I don't attach any significance with respect to who I am as a person with what I'm attempting to do in life. So I think that we can help ourselves tremendously if we'll remember setbacks, failures, it is a temporary interruption between me and my divine destiny.
Wow, I love the way you said that. That was so powerful. And so, okay, Jeremiah, let's just get real. What about rejection? If someone has been in a relationship and a person left them, how can they not attach that to who they are? You know, we take it very personally. So what would you say to a listener who may be experiencing that and just seems to be stuck and would love to get out of that feeling and out of that place before the end of the year?
You know, I certainly have been there, and I can remember a time when I'd get rejected in a relationship and it would take me 2 weeks to even come out of the fog of it. What I have personally done over the years, and really, really am getting better at this, not that I've already arrived, but I understand that at this season, at this moment, for whatever reason, the universe has saw fit for this not to work. And what I've begun to do in recent years is acknowledge who I am, and just maybe that individual is simply not ready for the gift that I am.
That's very true. And so those are just some great points that Jeremiah shared about how we can deal with failures, setbacks, and rejection. And I think just in a very concise words, what we're saying is that take the lesson that you need to learn from whatever has happened to you and just go to the next level with it. You can do that before the end of the year. You don't want to take all of that negativity, all of that way of thinking, all of those ways of being into the new year.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's take a look at the next step that we can begin to take in order to change our lives in 60 days. And just hearing this is not enough. You have to meditate on these principles. You have to conceive them. You have to get them in your heart, and then you begin to implement them into your life. This next one I love, imagination and vision.
Yes.
Did you know that you think in pictures? You don't think in words. You think in pictures. If I were to say to you, right now I'm eating a beautiful, red, delicious apple. Close your eyes as I say that. A red, delicious apple. And where do you see a red, delicious apple? Why? Because we think in pictures. And so when you visualize, as I say on The Secret, you materialize. And so all day long, you kind of like have a mind movie going on in your mind about who you are and what your life is. And I believe that visualization is a way to conceive it. It's like a time of incubation. You're like impregnating your mind. And so it's like a woman who's pregnant. She just, you know, you may not even see that she's pregnant initially, but the more she as the months pass, then she gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the same thing in your life. The more you imagine it, the more you see it, the more you feel it, the quicker it will come into your life. And just scientifically, your brain responds more deeply when you're in a meditative state. That's just before you go to bed and upon awakening. And, of course, you know that music helps to accelerate and increase that imagination. And so nothing is going to happen into your life until you see it. You have to conceive it first, and then you have to see it. And the brain is really changed when you take the time to see the end result. Take the time to see the end result of what you desire by the end of this year. So the solution that I'm going to share with you is to take one area of your life. It might be more money, more weight loss. You've already written it down. You're very clear about what you want. And begin to see and feel yourself having it now. Not off in the future, not if going to be, but begin to run those pictures throughout your mind during the course of the day.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And let me just say, those pictures are so critical. If you want to lose weight, you might want to get a magazine with a image, a picture of someone who has a perfect figure, and cut out their head and put a picture of your head on there. Something that you can go by every day and see it. It is so, so critical. Get a goals book, a vision book, and get pictures, because as Constance said, that our spirit man, or the subconscious man, if you will, deals with images and pictures. So get it. Go and drive that car, or go through that neighborhood and see that home, or imagine that loving relationship that you're believing for.
That's really great, and I love the part about having it now. Not it's going to be, but putting yourself actually in the place, in the feeling place, in the seeing place, Jeremiah, of just having it right now. What would that feel like? What would that look like for you with all of the colors, all the vibrancy, and all the feeling that you can muster? That's how your imagination works. And, you know, the Bible says that what they imagine would not be withheld from them. You know that better than I do, Jeremiah. And so it was so powerful that God knew that our imagination was so powerful that if you really believe something, it has to come to pass.
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And it works both in the positive and in the negative.
That's, I forgot about the negative. You're so right. So if you're seeing yourself as, I'm always going to be alone, or I'm not going to ever get a good job, or I'm not going to ever complete school, and if that is the dominant picture or vision that you have in your mind, then that's what will come to pass in your life. What does the Bible say about vision, Jeremiah?
And the Bible has so, so much to say about vision, and I was sharing even on my show, early in Scripture, God began to speak with the patriarch Abraham, and when he began to tell him about the vision and the dream that God wanted to perform in his life, he says to Abram, he says, I want you to go outside, and I want you to look up at the stars, and he says, I want you to see those stars. He says, if you can imagine how many stars stars are in the sky, he says, so shall your seed be. Meaning that which I'm going to do on the inside of you is going to be more expansive and more magnificent than all of the stars that you see in the sky. So God showed Abram how to visualize, how to begin to meditate, and he says, I want you to see it. And in one place he says, look around at the land, look north, south, east, and west, and as far as you can see it, he says, that's what I've given you. So the imagination is critical. Even on the negative side, you know, the Apostle Paul said that we are to cast down images or imaginations. And in the Greek, that word imaginations is images or pictures. He says, get rid of any pictures that exalts itself against that which you are praying and believing God for. You got to get rid of those pictures out of your mind.
That's awesome. Well, if you're just joining us again, we're teaching you. I'm Constance Arnold, and this is Jeremiah LeBlanc, and we're talking about how you can begin to change your life. We're giving you strategies and tips and plans and ways that you can begin to change your life within 60 days. Okay, number 7, take inspired action. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but everything begins with a seed. You have to do something. When you move, God moves. Everything begins with movement. Make a phone call. Send an email. You know, I always say take small baby steps toward what you desire. After you've written down your goals, after you visualize, after you've become clear about what you desire, you have to begin to take action. Reading, researching, listening is not enough. At some point, you've got to move. So under this step, I would say begin to take small baby steps toward what you desire.
Hey, I agree. Totally agree.
Okay. You want to say anything about that?
No, we can move on. I think you covered that one well.
Okay. Hope and faith. And I'm going to let you have this one, Jeremiah. Hope and faith is really important, especially if this year has been a very difficult year for you and seemingly maybe a lot of your dreams have been smashed or maybe some of your dreams have just not been realized at the beginning of the year. You might have thought by the end of 2010 this would have happened, and it has not. So hope means desire, expectation, anticipation, or to look forward to something. You're trusting or believing or feeling that something great is going to come to pass. And the only other thing I'm going to say about hope is that hope is a goal setter. You need to have hope as a goal setter. I hope that I'm going to get the promotion at work. I hope that I'm going to get that new car. But I'm going to let Jeremiah talk about faith. And so hope and faith are really two key components that you must possess in order to change your life before the end of the year.
That is so true, Constance. And faith, I'll tell you, faith is acting as if it's already come to pass. Faith is not in the future, folks. That's the difference. Hope sets the goal. Faith says, I have already attained it. And so faith says, it's already mine. I act as if it's already mine. And real quickly, for those of you who say, you know, I can't operate in faith, you actually operate in faith every single day. Now, most of you who work for other people, you go to a company and you put in 40 hours a week at work and you have never seen the payroll. They could
That's
be.
That's so bankrupt. True.
Never seen the payroll. Don't even know
Absolutely.
Who cuts the check. But yet you will tell the folk who you owe, you know, next week on the 15th, I'm going to pay you such and such because I get paid and I have never one time seen the bank account of the company that I work for. So faith is something that you operate in every day. But sometimes when it comes to supernatural dreams and gifts and things that we want in our lives, we want to see it before we act. And faith says, I will act as though it's already a fact in my life.
And so for someone, Jeremiah, who may be struggling financially, they need to act wealthy, act prosperous. Or if they're not feeling well, they need to act vibrant or whole or healthy. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And that means sometimes without a quarter in your pocket, jump in the car, go to the nearest mall, look at the jewelry stores, look at the travel brochures, watch inspirational movies about traveling or whatever it is. You have to act, even if at that current moment you have no evidence at all.
So we're really turning our back on what we see in the natural, literally.
Absolutely.
We're ignoring that because really our vision is over in another realm, in the faith realm, the invisible
realm.
That's okay, right. Great. Okay. Number nine, 30 days, 60 days to change your life before the end of the year. Speaking and affirming your goals or your heart's desires. All of you know, I'm so big on speaking. You know why? Because it's powerful. It's a powerful principle because your words are creative and they carry power. I say that there are containers that bring back to you what you continually put out. Did you know that your central nervous system is greatly impacted by your words and controlled by your words? So you are really getting what you are continually saying. And you're really the prophet of your own life. Whatever you continually say, oh, I'm broke, or this is never going to happen to me. Okay, you have just prophesied your future. And so I think that we really need to watch our words. Before the end of the year, you need to get up every day, write out what you want to happen in your life, and begin to speak that out so that you really begin to create the life that you desire. Everything that I have ever gotten in my life, I spoke it first. And you do it every day. You might say, you might tell your children, okay, I want you guys to stay home because I'm going to the store and shop. And then when I come back, I'm going to cook dinner. What did you just do? You just spoke the words. You spoke in advance what you were going to do before you did it.
That's why words
are so powerful and affirmations are so powerful that you need to use them in really accomplishing your goals and your desires before the end of the year.
Absolutely right. The entire universe was created by the power of the spoken word.
Well, so that means that if we're created in the image of God, Jeremiah, then we're like little gods in the earth, and one thing that we can do is use our words. So are you saying that we can use our words to create our world?
Absolutely. By the you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and the Bible says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A man shall be filled with good from the fruit of his own lips. Absolutely.
That's one I wish we had more time to expound on that. And the last one is partnering with God to reach your goals. I mean, what can I say on that one except for the God of the universe is living on the inside of you, that you're partnering together, and that when you begin to move and when you begin to really just implement these steps, how all of the universe will come to empower, to assist, and to help you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And acting on that God, you know, when for those of you that are listening, real briefly, when I first heard Constance speak, my spirit was so excited and I was so lifted up. And I remember saying to myself, I need to contact her. I need to contact her. And without hesitation, I've done so. And as God would have it, now here we are today sharing and hopefully being an inspiration to you. But that was all because initially I heard from God. He spoke into my heart and I just acted on that without any hesitation. And so he is the best business partner I've ever, ever had and known.
Right. And so let's go over these steps again, Jeremiah. Number one, develop habitual ways of thinking. Become clear or gain clarity about your goals or desires or whatever you want to accomplish before the end of the year. Take a look at your core beliefs. Begin changing what you truly believe about yourself. Learn how to deal with failures, setbacks, and rejection. Get clear and use your imagination and get clear with the vision that you desire for your life using your imagination. Begin to think in pictures because remember, what you visualize, you materialize. Deal with your self-esteem, self-concept, and begin to acknowledge all of those wonderful gifts that are on the inside of you. Take inspired action. Make sure that you are in hope and faith. Begin to speak those affirming, positive words. Your words are creative. And partner with the God of the universe to reach your goals. And what Jeremiah and I are saying is that if you will begin to implement these strategies, these principles, these universal laws into your life, before the end of the year, your life can radically change.
Amen. I believe that with all my heart, Constance.
And so, Jeremiah, do you have any ending remarks before I really tell our listeners how they really need to go and listen to your show? And after listening to you, I think that so many people will start coming to your show listening to you because you are very powerful. You have great insight, knowledge, and expertise. And I just think you just God has given you the gift of really knowing how to break it down so that we can understand it.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you to say. Well, my parting, if I had any parting remark today, it would be that we should spend some serious time with these principles. A lot of times we, you know, watching television and doing things, and all those things are wonderful. But if you could carve out 1 hour a day for quiet reflection and meditation on these principles, over the next 60 days, I truly believe that your life will change for the better.
And I agree with you 100% because it's the truth that you know. Just because you hear truth doesn't mean, and you have to know it. That means you have to spend time with it. You have to conceive it. You have to embrace it. It literally needs to become a part of your DNA, and you do that by setting time aside. One of the great prophets of the universe said that if we would pray and meditate for 1 hour a day, we would see miracles in our lives.
Yes.
Just in an unprecedented manner. And so that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. So, Jeremiah, tell people how they can hear your show, your website, if you're available to speak, or do you have seminars? Share with our listeners your contact information.
Certainly, you can reach me at empoweredforsuccess.net. And you can email me at jeremiah@empoweredforsuccess.net. I am heard on the wonderful, wonderful Law of Attraction radio network each Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I am available to do conferences, seminars, coaching, and training. Yes.
And I'm going to encourage you, if you have an upcoming seminar, you need to invite Jeremiah. You hear how powerful he is. And if you're a male, I feel that a lot of times one of my mentors says that it takes a man to know another man. And if you're a male and you want mentoring or you need coaching, you can contact Jeremiah. He's just a great, powerful man of God. And I'm so glad that you availed yourself to co-host the show with me today. It has been simply a pleasure sharing with listeners all over the world.
Mine as well, Constance. I'm so delighted to have been able to be here for you, and you know I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I just want to thank all of my listeners again, and this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. I'm just inviting you to go to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. There are many other shows that you can listen to where you can receive empowered insight, knowledge, and revelation that will radically change your life. And also, make sure you go to my webpage, www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I have some great coaching packages available to you. As you know, I have 25 years experience as a coach, counselor, trainer. I'm a licensed therapist for 25 years, and I'm a certified coach. I would love to partner with you to begin to create the life of your dreams. And this is Constance Arnold and Jeremiah LeBlanc saying to you, God bless you and have a fantastic week.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.